Well, it was short notice, so I don't know that we'll have a whole lot unless I stutter a lot. I guess that might make it take longer. We were having a conversation or discussion, I guess, before I came in over here about which group was more fun to teach to. Sorry, you guys didn't win. No. It's both fun to do. So I didn't really know what to do. Other than I just kind of decided I am reading in Job, and so decided, well, that's a good place to go because it helps that over the past several years, Job is one of my favorite characters in Scripture. Never really was a big, just read Job just for fun. I mean, who does that? But heard a message by a man named Joel Beakey several years ago, and he was actually talking about fathers, and he was talking about Job's character as a father, as it's you see that in chapter 1. And it really kind of gave me a different perspective, I guess, on looking at it. And so I've just kind of enjoyed him since and really like that character of Job. And so, since I'm reading here and then thought about it even more and two or three Sundays ago, we discussed Job a little bit in James in Sunday school because James brings him up. And we'll just start there. In James chapter 5, verse 11, he says, "We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." And so I just started there. Ezekiel also mentions Job in Ezekiel 14 a couple times. In verse 14 and verse 20, he mentions Job's righteousness and Job's intercession. And so Job has been mentioned, time and again. And it makes you wonder, for not knowing all that he had to endure, and he never did know that his name was going to be elsewhere or even written down in God's word, and yet here we have this this whole account of what he went through, and then he's mentioned by other authors in Scripture, and so ultimately, above all, God himself commends Job. And he does so in there right away in chapter 1, verse 8. And you guys all know this, but God is the one who makes mention of Job to Satan. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." What a statement coming from God about Job himself, and to Satan nonetheless, who I found it a little bit ironic in that little discourse between Satan and God, how then Satan, he goes on to accuse God of, well, you've put this hedge around Satan, and I thought, and it didn't really dawn on me till just this last time, well, no, God essentially kind of took a piece of that hedge out to reveal Satan to reveal Job to you. I mean, it doesn't even follow. It's not even true for Satan to make such a claim. God himself is the one who made Job known to Satan. So for him to suggest that it's just simply because of his protection is just not true. Of course, Satan, is crafty as he is and deceitful as he is, he's not going to deceive God. But So just a few other thoughts about him, and then just want to consider kind of my main points. Job was extremely successful as a businessman. We see that in chapter 1 with all his possessions. The 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that is the greatest of all the men of the East. And so he was very successful in business and what he did. He was also very well respected in his community. There's more on that later in as Job recounts his life, more towards the end of his discourse with his friends in Job 29. Job kind of recalls his past. In beginning in verse 7, he says, "When I went out to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the square, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the old men arose and stood. The princes stopped talking and put their hands on their mouths. The voices of the noble was hushed, and their tongues stuck to their palate. For when the ear heard, it called me blessed, and when the eye saw, it gave witness of me, because I delivered the poor." Okay, I need to stop there. I went too far. Sorry. We'll pick up there. But so he was well respected in his community, and then we get into there, and then also he upheld justice, righteousness towards the poor, the weak, and the widows, picking up there. Because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the orphan who had no helper. The blessings of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like the robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. And he goes on and on and on, recounting in just the ways that he showed compassion and mercy to those around him and in the community. And as we also discussed, we saw Job, or we talked about Job earlier as a father, how he prayed for his children continually, and offering offerings and sacrifices on their behalf. And so all of this, thinking of Job's character and looking at his character, we saw already that he had endurance, that God called him upright and blameless. Ezekiel says that he was righteous. Job also had virtue. Virtue is the conformity to a standard of right. And this was a measure, study notes in my Bible point that out, that virtue was a measure of how someone, or was measured by how someone treated the weak and the poor. And so Job was a virtuous man. And the one real interesting thought, just kind of a side note, is that still kind of baffles me, was his wife's response to his calamity. We know that, and there's nothing else that's said of her. You kind of have to wonder, because of his character and the way he's looked at by everyone else around him, that his wife, I would assume, and I'm making an assumption, carried herself in a similar manner until the calamity came upon him. And so, I just find that interesting, though, that while her character fell, his did not. And which again is I just point that out because I believe that's another sign of true virtue, that when the difficulties come, or especially when nobody actually sees what's going on behind closed doors, that's when virtue counts, and that's when it really truly matters. So all of this with Job's character, it was necessary for what was coming and what God was about to bring about, or what ultimately what Satan was going to give, was given the power to do over Job. And God knew this. Again, pointing out that's what he pointed out to Satan. Consider Job. There's no one like him. And so that's the first primary point I kind of want to think about. And in the midst of all of this, so often, it is a good question. We need to ask the question, but we hear the question asked, do you know Jesus Christ? And, it's frequently, especially in a gospel call and in that kind of way, do you know Christ as Savior? Do you know Jesus? And that is a certainly a question that we do need to ask. However, the other side to that too is, does God know you? And, God knows Job. He knows his character. He knows what he's like. And so this testing that Job is about to endure, God could bring about in Job's life, knowing in his perfect sovereignty that Job would be able to endure with the strength of God, not under his own, because Job's not leaning on his own character, not on his own strength. And so that's an extremely important question. Think for ourselves, does God know me? Does he know my character? And the other thought that I had about this, why this is so important, because there's times I don't. And there's times I don't know my own character. And I question myself. And I get in situations and I go, I don't know what to do in this. Or I don't know if I have the right answer, or if I have the right response, or if my heart's even in the right place. But God does. Period. And I really like, I shouldn't say I really like, I guess you see that more and more as Job's discourse goes on and throughout this. His plea is to have his case with God. Consistently, that's what Job wants. I want to take my case to God. He doesn't understand why this is going on. And even when we see that Job wishes he could even, that he wasn't even born, or that he would have just died as an infant, or that his trouble is more than he can bear, and he doesn't understand it, and he doesn't like it, and rightfully so, but yet he wants to make his case before God. And I think what stands out about that is what I liked about that so much is because in those situations where we don't know our own heart and ourself, when you're looking to God and you have so much trust and faith like Job did in God, well, I want God to hear my case because he is just and he is wise and he is good and holy and merciful and gracious. And so while, men may look at our situation, or we may look at our own circumstances and not understand and not know why and be upset and be angry or sad or frustrated, whatever our response is, God's response is perfect. And it's okay to ask, and it's okay to plead with God and take our case before God. And as we know, God never does reveal what happened in the heavenlies. He never did tell. He never showed that to Job. But I believe that, that also, that in this, it was God's delight to show Job his character, his own character towards Job. And just in closing, with all of that said, I think one of my favorite parts about this is when you get towards the end, and it stands out to me again, and I think this is another testament to Job's character. I didn't go far enough here. We get to chapter 38 when God finally speaks to Job. And I chuckle at this some, because I don't think any of us, when we're suffering and we're in calamity, I don't think it's too far from any of us to really want pity. Does God give Job pity? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Man up. That's what he says to Job. And the reason that stands out, and again, I do think that points to Job's character, because God could say that to Job, and Job didn't melt into a puddle. He didn't just fall apart and cry about his condition and his situation. And so, you know, that relationship there, that knowledge that God had of Job and of the man that Job was, and of Job's desire to lean on God and to trust him. And I love that response that God gives to him. And he doesn't give him a pity party. He doesn't just give him, you know, just make him feel sorry for himself, or and he responds in that kind of way. And so yeah, just some things, I guess, to consider why he's one of my favorite characters, why he's become one of my favorite characters over time reading through it and this account. And that's, yeah, pretty much all I have. So appreciate you hearing me out. And yeah, let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll get to prayers. Lord, Father, thank you for your wonderful mercy and compassion and your love, and in the way that, Lord, that you do know each one of us. Lord, the plans that you have for our lives, and Lord, how you've ordered everything, and you've considered us in ordering everything. Lord, most of all, that you've done so in a way that most glorifies yourself. Lord, and God, help us to be a part of that and bring glory to you and honoring you and serving you. And Lord, even in difficulties and trials and trouble, Lord, we thank you for those times that you use to grow us and strengthen us and draw us to yourself. And I pray that that would be the case, although it's hard. And so, Lord, I thank you for your wonderful love. And we love you and we adore you and just lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen.